Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. That was Bamily Above the Clouds. I got Natalie here.
Hi.
And sadly, we're not organised. We weren't even talking about. No, we're talking about other stuff.
No, we haven't caught up for quite a while. I think you said last year.
Yeah, well, you haven't, I haven't seen you since last year.
This part of 2024 has gone, because it really does feel like a heartbeat that it's March the 1st.
Yeah, well, there's kind of like this psychological. You
shift.
Partition in Raglan. You partition off the summer.
Yes, you do.
That's when all the tourists turn up, yep. and we don't do the normal things we do, and it just kind of goes off. That's in another universe.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, it's sort of like you go, okay, well, that's the first part. That's the 6 weeks where we know it's going to be, and then it's this. And even my son sort of commented on, like, oh, now it's all the older tourists that are coming, Mum, because everyone's gone back to school.
That's true. I noticed years ago we had a house bus.
The pattern and season to the visitors, which is cool, don't get me wrong. I like it.
We really noticed that years ago when we had a house bus and we were travelling around and the camping grounds were packed out.
Yeah.
And then like around about 1st of February came around and that stopped, but then all the old people turned up.
Yeah, the older people.
Well, because they'd been looking after the
people.
They'd been looking after the grandkids during... Yeah. During Christmas and summer, and they needed a holiday.
Yeah, and then, you know, not everybody wants to go on holiday when all the kids are off school because it's really busy.
Yes.
So, it's been good. It's been a good summer, though.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And it's beautiful right now out there. Yeah. We're still not talking about careers, though, Natalie.
No, I know. Well, you could have a career in weather, I suppose.
I did ask you the question off the air about, are there still jobs out there? Because I'd heard that the government and the previous government was opening up immigration again after desperate pleading from employer groups.
It? Yeah, that's a really interesting... I think I'm going to talk to something that came to mind, you know, that position of if we bring immigrants into the country, there are going to be no jobs. And that's not the case, right? Like, we have got immigration in our skill sector because we've got a skill shortage in this country.
Well, also, there were jobs, but no staff was
well,
what people were saying.
Yeah, that's so that, you know, a representation of what a skill shortage isn't really a skill shortage, it's a human being shortage. So, you know, when we bring migrants into the country, it's part, I don't want to talk politically, but one would assume that it's been part of a well thought out plan. But then, you know, you read the news earlier on and our governments don't always seem to have a plan.
This government in particular has turned up saying that we're going to stop this and we're going to stop this and we're going to stop this. And then they got there and they're like, and I think the bureaucrats have said, okay, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, give us a moment.
Yeah, pretty
just
much.
Just figure that out in a heartbeat. But hey, you know, there are a lot of very skilled people working in government. So that's just fingers crossed they get it sorted as soon as possible. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, the bureaucrats have been keeping it running anyway while, you know, you go through all that election and negotiation.
Well, yeah.
So,
but like any job, I suppose, they have the 100 days of settling in. You know, how often do we give ourselves as new employees 100 days to settle into the job? I often feel like when we start a new job, we're under this huge pressure to perform and be our best. And you know what I mean? Like, we don't actually absorb that it's just a massive change. And therefore, because of change, like, you know, I might be really useless at something or I might not be enjoying it as much, you know?
My first job after I left, my first proper job with my degree, for the first 3 months, I was a liability. I know I cost the money. Yeah. I definitely cost the money.
I was actually reflecting on that when I was at home thinking, what am I going to talk about with Aaron today? And I thought about a little job that I had about 15, 16 years ago. And I'd gone through like this really sort of significant life event, which meant I just didn't want to do what I did before. So I ended up working for some friends of mine. And thank goodness, I think they were really pleased when I said, oh, I've got another job, because I was really bad at it.
And
oh my God.
And how old were you at this point?
Well, I was a grown up. I was in my 30s.
You're in your 30s. Well, see, this is my first proper job. So you had some excuse.
Well, I think maybe that was my first proper job. I definitely went through like a reincarnation of like from maybe adolescent to adulthood at that point in my life. But yeah, I remember this morning and I sort of cringed a little bit about, oh my gosh, I can't believe like I did that. You know, because I really did make like really ridiculous amateur.
I want to know what the job
no,
was.
No, I'm not going to tell you because
it's
a small
local
town.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Somebody might
empathetic
remember.
Empathetic employers. I'm really grateful for them. Thank you very much. I think they know who they are. Being given a chance, that's always really good. But yeah, you never give yourself that same kind of compassion. Maybe, you know, I'm starting a new job. How long is it going to take me to settle in? How long am I allowing myself to sort of work towards any form of mastery? No, it's got to be instantaneous, right? I've got to be there. I've got to know what I'm doing, and
But you can't.
No,
unless it's like ditch digging or something.
Or maybe something that
and you're
you've
fit.
Obviously maybe done before, and you know, you're replicating a previous role in another organization, maybe, you know, I don't know, if you're this, maybe there's got to be some form of similarity. I don't suppose each job comes with its own completely massive learning circle, but some do, because you can pivot, don't you? You know, you try something, like I did, give it a go, realized I probably shouldn't be doing that job, and
it's hard though if you've it's hard if you've just completed some training, like a degree, a certificate, anything, and then you'd go into it and thinking it's going to be your life career, and you're like, this isn't going well.
And I get a lot of that. But I think there's this sort of statistic, you know, I don't know where it comes from, but it's banded around a little bit in what I do, where as an adult we will transition careers 7 to 8 times, and that's not change jobs, like over the lifespan
seven
of
to
our
eight.
Career time we might actually change roles, like change the focus of our job.
I'm getting behind
seven
then
to eight times
I was changing a lot for a while.
If you counted it, you'd be quite surprised. I think I was like 6 or 7 from when I first started work.
Okay, there was a job I took because I didn't want to use my degree, then I actually did go and do that. And then I started doing that thing.
I always really thing. Like the fact that you're really honest about, I really hated being an architect.
Everyone's spending their life saving, so they're stressed out. Most of the industry runs on bullying as its main communication method.
Did in your experience?
Yeah,
it might be different now.
I worked for 3 architecture firms when there were 6 different directors across those firms. The only one I came out with any respect for wasn't an architect.
Funny.
he was a draftsman.
Yeah, but he ended up
a partner. Yeah, and he was the one that you could relate to and was helpful.
Well, you could relate to, because, you know, everybody's...
No, this is pretty universal.
Okay, I'm talking on behalf of...
Yeah, no, so stop trying to defend my old employers. I won't have it.
Good people. But mine, I was a dental nurse.
Oh, yeah, we do talk about this a fair bit.
I hated that. Oh, my gosh, I was so miserable all the
time. You weren't suited to that at all.
No, because I'm a chatter. Just a chatter.
See, the thing with working in those architecture firms is I know... Now I would be good at that. I would be good at running all big projects and things like that. I could handle that fine. But it was getting from the bit of being a nervous young guy, trying to impress the boss, and not knowing how to, and having to do the stuff I wasn't very good at, which was doing working drawings. Like, I wasn't interested in it, and my mind wasn't really wired for that. So I didn't know how to get through that to get to the bit where I was good at. And because I wasn't good at that stuff, I didn't think I'd be good at the other stuff.
Yeah, so that undercurrent of lack of confidence in your... Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got out to a point where I had no bosses that I flourished. At that point, I was fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I couldn't cope with having bosses.
Self-determination, right? Yeah. You know, all of these are characteristics of that can be uncovered through career guidance to help you understand more about who you are as a worker, how you go about your job, and how that might relay into the world of work in a useful, satisfying manner.
But
right.
how do you learn to cope with the bosses who were, like, they weren't good bosses, they didn't know how
question.
To get the best out of their staff except by bullying them or pressurizing them.
That the other side of that is,
and other people
being
coped better.
You know, not everybody is, you know, you can't, not everybody is a natural, or you're not necessarily taught to be a manager, are you? There's just that expectation you've been there for this amount of time, then you'll become senior, and that's your career progression. But maybe they didn't actually have just didn't have the skills to manage. You're like, no, they
no,
didn't.
Nobody almost I
but they had the technical capacity to do what it to do their jobs well, right? And they're obviously doing it well because they're employing people, and, you know, their business is effective, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be effective leaders. I think all different skills and capabilities.
I think it's
and
very
as a young
rare.
Employee, you might not have had that confidence to be your own advocate and say, hey, you know, actually my brain isn't wired this way for these technical drawings. My skills are really over here. And the guy that's over there going, thank God for that. I really wanted to do technical drawings, but I can't. You know what I mean? Like, the question you asked was, you know, how do you learn to deal with difficult bosses? I mean, maybe half of that is actually all the experience of life and having difficult bosses that makes you think, oh, how can I? Because, you know, again, and we sat in schools saying to our kids, okay, we're going to learn today how to deal with a difficult boss. No, that comes through life experience.
Well, no, and the experience,
it, right?
The experience of school is do as you're told and don't complain.
Yeah, well, because it's a different, that might not have been the best example, but that,
but,
you know,
that's what the
we
bosses...
don't give others learning examples of this is how we're going to deal with. We just assume
That is kind of what the bosses want. You have the life
skills to do that, right?
That's what the bosses want, is do as you're told. And yeah. don't cause me problems.
Or just like being a parent, right? Just go and look like you're doing what I want you to do. And as long as the end product is the same, how you make that journey.
Probably all the bosses out there are now getting really frustrated at this conversation, but that was my experience. Most people don't have the skills. And it's a people problem, right? All the bosses will tell you about all the incredibly bad staff they've
100%,
had that are impossible to get anything out of. And some of them are really good at actually working with people, and they still can't get anything out of it. So it's a people problem.
It is a people problem. And that's, you know, where it all starts with that, I suppose, having a sense of responsibility in what you're doing and trying to be, you know, a good employee that...
I think I was really good at going to school. I never got in trouble.
I got good grades.
You know, I was the complete opposite of you. But that gave me a skill set that was useless for the working.
Yeah, mine too.
No, because you had to be a little bit on your own. You had to fend for yourself a little bit, and that actually does give you a skill set.
100%.
Whereas my skill set,
I don't think, though, when you're mixing with your friends at 15, 16 and going, that wasn't, like, I wasn't on my own. It was a big group of us. And the day we all got really into so much trouble, 11 children from my class, which I think I would have been the final year at school, but not sixth form. So that's at year 11.
Yeah.
And it was probably the second half of the last year. So, of course, in our minds, being that we were experts, we had decided that...
You're always at that age, yeah.
that we'd learn everything that the school could teach us. And so... we got into this little rhythm of skiving school. We would call it mitching. And this one day, 11 other students decided not to go to school.
En masse. Yes,
en masse.
That's a good way to draw attention to the situation, isn't
it? I laugh now, but man, when I got home, my mum said to me, "And where have you been today?" And I was like, "Oh, school." And she was like, "That's such a crock of crap."
And you're like, uh-oh.
You can tell your dad. And then I knew that was it. Boom. I am grounded. And I will not see daylight for...
What, till the end of school?
It was a month, because by that stage, my poor parents were so sick of having me at home. They were like, yeah, okay, bye.
That's where they get punished as well.
Yeah. We're doing this for your own good. Really? Because you look like you're really struggling. Now, was it?
That's,
but yes, I know.
Well,
right?
Okay, but so there's hope that a misbehaving, skiving, malcontent like yourself... can actually grow up to have a proper adult career.
Well, yeah, right. And something that
pay
I enjoy.
Pay off a mortgage and stuff.
Yeah, well, it's part of the life plan. I mean, whenever we ever get there to pay the mortgage off, I don't know. But yeah, I think there's always hope. I think I have a sort of core belief in what I do that, you know, everybody is employable. I mean, they have to want to be. But I do believe that there is sort of work for everyone. And I don't know, I suppose... I am lucky. I know that I am lucky in the sense of I am able to do what I want. But that's when I say I'm able to do what I want, it's because I really understand what I want. And so I've been able to put plans into place and sort of create something. Because, you know, where I am now is 12 years into a career journey that has... obviously focused on sort of self-understanding and things like that, because that's what I do to try and help for others. So it starts with that experiment of doing it with myself, you know, learning these tools or learning and reading these theories. Yeah, and
it's very meta.
Yeah. So and I think that's something I'm really grateful for. I'm obviously really grateful that my troublesome teens didn't leave me with more complicated, you know, incident, you know, because some of those behaviors weren't exactly... I'm not advocating anybody listening to this not to go to school or their education institution. But at the end of the day, I look back now and it's a laugh.
I can advocate.
But my parents were like, oh my God, you're going to ruin your chances.
Yeah,
you know what
so
I mean?
That,
like,
yeah,
your behaviour is going to stigmatise your ability, your life, and you're going to not be able to get a job, and you're not going to be able to do this, and you're not going to be able to do that. And so I suppose I can look back now and go, ha, that's another thing you were wrong about. But
there is a big fear about that. And I would like to be able
and
to reassure...
And that's very real, and I don't want to belittle those
it's,
kinds
it's
of...
It's a real fear, but I'd like to be able to reassure people that it's actually not the end of the world.
No,
it's not the end of the world. And you're a case in point. I mean, my father was a case in point. He took 2 years to get school C. That was the fifth form thing here. Ended up and he was told by his teachers he'd never amount to anything.
That's horrible, isn't it? That's not a nice way to talk to.
Which is, and he ended up being a school principal at Myra Intermediate. So he's like, he got to the peak of his profession, way more than those, did way better than those teachers did, who were probably teachers that had never got anywhere.
See, his belligerence was, you know, that really paid off. It's like, I'll show you.
Yeah,
I think, you know what I mean? And that sort of reverse psychology, maybe they were like, yeah, okay, we're going to light a fire. But that's not always the case for everybody. Sometimes it can completely
burn them down.
I mean, you know, to come out, and again, maybe that's because of who he is as a person.
Well, he's spent his whole life proving them wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean,
which I don't feel, because I did okay at school, I don't have that same fire behind me. I have a different form of motivation. I have access to more internal motivations other than proving other people wrong. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not, I wonder if that's like, yeah, a little similar to myself. Like, I never look back and sort of think, oh, yeah. I feel like my career story has been quite influenced by what we term as happenstance, you know, that sense of being in the right place at the right time.
But I think that's what happens, though. First of all, you have to do those jobs. You shouldn't have to, but we seem to have to do the jobs, discover what we don't like.
Well, yeah, you know, a good way of learning, often, right?
Yeah, and then we can start to
hone in on what we do. Yeah. But, you know, that isn't the only way that you can approach that information.
Well, you have techniques for doing that,
don't
you?
Well, that's right, yeah, you know.
Skip all that.
Not just me, but other career practitioners as well. So, you know, and everybody approaches it. But, I mean, I think, you know, obviously I'm a migrant. I've travelled a little bit. I think all of that is part to do with maybe that sort of started when I was at school. You know, like I just wasn't going to be somebody that could do that. And all of my subsequent learning has been completely deinstitutional. You know, it's correspondence. It's me at home.
Right.
You know, and I think a little bit of that is maybe also learning to live and learn as a dyslexic person as well, that maybe school just wasn't, you know, I just needed to learn differently and learn what it meant for me to learn. I don't know. That's another weird sort of concept. Like, as an adult, when I went back to school, I had to sort of learn how to learn. I know that sounds really stupid, but, you know, I went...
Well, no, you're learning to drive it yourself.
Yeah, and, you know, I was using a computer to learn. When I was at school, it was all like, oh, you know, because it's the 90s and we did a computer suite that we went to for 1 hour a week, you know, and everything was... So, but this was a whole different... And I learned about, like, my kind of learning behaviours and when it was good for me to sit and try and write stuff down at a computer, or when it was good for me to go and do like stuff with a pen and a bit of paper and just try and get, I don't know.
And it would be nice if there was space within schools for kids to figure out their own learning style like that. But there's an element of a factory about it, because there's maybe 30 kids in the classroom. Yeah.
But I do think we've got some great, you know, the people that were our teachers, they are people that want to see our kids succeed.
Yeah, I know they want to do that.
So they are kind of moving towards that. I think it's challenging. I know we've got like... Yeah, I know, like, my kids' teachers have always been encouraging and to talk about, or maybe you could just try this and try that, and I don't know, you know? Because I've got one child that's like completely, oh yeah, pick a book, he's all over it. And then Ellis, it's a bit different for her. So we have to learn differently and encourage her to be a little bit more confident and make mistakes. That's a big deal, right? Just saying, well, give it a go. If it doesn't work out, it's not the end of the world. And I think that that's something you're talking about before, like, we make mistakes, but it's actually quite a good idea to...
Yeah, and I also have
experience if it's really going to work for you.
I also have a lot of experience with kids who've been outside then inside the education system, not just my own, but other people's kids that I know as well. And and from the outside, you're like, why is everyone panicking about we've got to keep up? But on the inside, you get it because there's a curriculum and there's all these things have to happen, and falling behind is a real fear. But by the same token, I know a whole bunch of kids who didn't stick with the curriculum until they were in their teens.
Yeah.
Some of them, like my kids, didn't appear to be doing any learning in the traditional sense, but then turned up at school, had a period of adjustment for a year, but then were fine.
Yep.
And so some of the other kids have been like, so why did we have to go to school? but
I'm going to live with Aaron.
But all, yeah, too late. And also, no.
Yeah.
We don't want everybody.
More homeschooling.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think
so
it's about that.
It's possible. It's possible to come back from...
it's possible to come back from all sorts of adversity.
That's the thing, that's what I want to say,
And misadventure or misdemeanor or whatever it is, you know, I mean, it's never...
Yeah, or people were very worried about COVID. The COVID years were going to be forever affected by their education being damaged during COVID. Mm. And I just don't think that's the case.
I think it was more the parents whose education was damaged when we all tried to teach our kids at home. We were like, oh my God.
Well, yeah, well, you went into that with no training, like that's and trying to imitate what's done at school, and you should never try to imitate school at home because that's just hard.
Yeah,
and not necessary.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I I never want to go back to homeschooling, so I always take my hat off to parents that are giving it a go. I was like, yeah,
I promise it was not done the way you tried to do it. it's actually easier. But also, the kids who went through those years at COVID, like it was tough and it was hard to keep up with what was in the curriculum. But I hope that over time they will develop some resilience from that.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I think it was really
which the rest of us wouldn't have got because we didn't have that experience. So, you know, pluses and minuses.
Yeah. I think what I saw in my work was a little bit of... No.
You can get in through our door there in the corner. If you look past our... in the corner of our room. See, this confuses people. They're in there. We've got someone trying to get in. There we go. Yeah, go through there. So a lady with some flowers, folks, coming through the studio.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's very nice. Always bring flowers if you come to the studio.
Hi. Yeah. But that's okay. She says, hi, everyone.
Oh, good. So where were we?
Must be something fun happening in the town hall after... Oh, go, great. Yeah, come down. Oh, it's Corrie. Yeah, come down. Hi, how are you? Cornelia. Aroha mai. So Cornelia is actually getting organised for some yoga on this morning at the town hall. Come down. Be part of that, Mahi.
Took you a long time to recognise Cornelia.
It costs loads, so you better bring your wallet.
I bring your wallet. Okay. All right, so where was our dishevelled, already dishevelled conversation going?
I know, we were rambling this morning. Everyone's turned off. Look, no listeners. Oh, well. No.
Well, we're having fun.
We always have fun. Good to chat. I don't know. I can't think now because that interrupted my chain of thought, which is probably why I'm not a teacher in a school and who needs to help people to concentrate because I'm all over the place now. I'm joking.
There's always something to look at.
We were talking about COVID. One of the things that I noticed in my work was a lot, you know, for the... uni grads that came out with that latter part where they might have been doing their internships or, you know, the graduate programs and that kind of stuff. I noticed that there was a lot of people that were like that. I struggled so much coming out of education to sort of that part of it where I suppose it's the same for the kids that were graduating from high school. And, you know, it was that leaving and because they'd spent so long in, as it were, to come and be part of what they saw as a world of work was a massive leap and one that was quite difficult.
My kids were, the ages they were, our oldest one, she came out, she worked for a week and then the lockdown.
Yeah.
She came out of school and literally her year was the year that was like, here's your freedom, oh no, you're going to stay at home.
Yeah.
And my other child, she only had 3 years at school and all 3 years were the 3 years affected by COVID. So she's got no idea what a normal school year is like.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
My eldest didn't like it. He's very social, but my youngest was like, we could do this.
But
we could just stay homeschooling for,
But you know, there's those, what they call those soft skills and other people just call them human skills that they will have learned stuff from that. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, they're still, when I'm working with people and I'm getting them to think about interviews and getting them to think about these opportunities they're applying for, you know, I say to them, it's your hard skills that get you the job interview. It's your soft skills that get you the job.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, is this person, do I want to work with these people? You know, is this person going to be able to come and tolerate all the idiosyncrasies that exist within our team? And
Or will they cope with the customers?
Yeah.
Or are they going to offend the customers?
Do we want them to offend the customers? You know, there's lots of places where these skills are very useful. You don't have to be nice all the time.
Or do you want them to offend the customers? What job is that?
I don't know. There's that those cafes that were around for a while where all the wait staff were really rude. I thought, I would be so good at that.
you were born in the wrong time, Nat.
Well, I know. It was like all about having really good customer service, but really it was just like, whatever.
It was a novelty. I don't know what, you might actually get sick of being rude to people all day. You could be like really nice to your family when you come home just because you're sick of being rude to people.
The flip-flop.
You got it all out of your system.
Work-life balance.
Yeah. So I guess the general theme of what we've been looking at is things don't turn out.
This conversation, you don't actually have to have a plan to go anywhere when it comes to employment. You know, you can actually go, I'm going to start here and see where it takes me.
and see what happens. Make me wonder if, like, a lot of what we've talked about is that you feel like you want to get out and try some different jobs before you spend some money on a degree.
Yep. And for some, I think that's a really great idea, don't you? You know, I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day and I was like, so he's like, oh, I'm sort of a bit sick of, you know, being at school. And I was like, well, he said, oh, I left at 18, but he started at 5. So when you think about that as a form of work, study work, school work.
Right.
So 18, he'd been in a job or working for 13 years. And then we go, okay, we'll just do another 3 or 4 on top of that.
Mm.
You know, that's quite a big chunk of what could be perceived to be something that's quite similar, right? Education, you're following a path.
Well, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just an extension. To sort of get to 18 and think, oh, I'm done. I'm out of here. I want to go and, you know, see the world, which is what this young fella had done. And he just said, I just spent the last 2 years doing any job like that came my way just because I wanted to try.
I think it's great if you've got a young person who's decided what they want to do, even if it's not something you want them to do and it's not long term.
Yeah.
The fact that they're taking charge of their life is really important.
It's pretty cool. And, you know, I think, and then it goes back to that thing that we said before about this freedom to change professions.
Mm.
You know, you don't actually have to be this or become this. I mean, obviously some people have lifelong careers, but probably within that title, they'll be trying different things in their roles and different things in their job, you know?
What about at the opposite end of that with people who are older, they're not retirement age yet, but they feel like, well, they've got messages from society that they're past their use-by date.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because there was a report out this morning, funnily enough, from, was it OECD or maybe even like World Economic Forum about them, obviously being one of the biggest populations now. But we would be considered.
That's where the population bulges in Western society.
Yeah. And so it's like actually this pool of talent needs to be tapped into because we still have these sort of jobs and problems that need to be solved. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot more choice. And that second career maybe is what you're referring to, where people are looking and going, okay, well, I've got, you know, I'm working with a 62-year-old at the moment and they're like, well, actually, I might have 5 or 6 years left of full-time work in me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do any of these things.
That I've done. Yeah.
Ever again.
I know what I don't like.
I know what I don't like. So I use like a sporting analogy in that because, again, that's, you know, you're talking about pivoting, skill transfer, all of that like really neat stuff. And I say to people, when you know what you're doing, you're like a basketball player. And you're running up that court and you're bouncing that ball and you're just doing, right? When you are considering changing a job, whether it be in the same profession or changing your profession completely, you're like a netball player and you have to move with one foot on the ground. You're pivoting.
Okay.
And that foot is a representation of the skills that you want to use to launch the next stage of your career journey or your career game, whatever, you know? It's a bit of a game, isn't it, really? Let's think about it. Like, you know, sometimes it can be, employment can be quite farcical.
What about fears that your mental capacities are changing, that you're not as sharp as you were in your 20s? Actually, I listened to this podcast last year and they were talking about intelligence, fluid intelligence and crystallized intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
And in your mid-40s, your intelligence becomes crystallized. And I think partly that means you can't just keep adapting to new things all the time.
Okay.
But you have a different kind of intelligence. And like Charles Darwin, he did all his brilliant stuff in his 20s with his fluid intelligence and he got to the stage of crystallized intelligence and he couldn't do anything anymore. But there are other scientists who apparently their careers took off at that point. So I don't understand the details of it.
No.
But our minds do change significantly. Well, yeah. And I'm at that point now. I used to, especially with this job where I do everything that the radio station needs, I'm kind of a bit over that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I'll get someone in to do that if I can.
Yep. Yep. So you're cutting back on the things that you don't maybe have the tolerance for or passion to. Yeah. I think, it's a common trait in a lot of.
You have to really push hard to do it, do those things now. And you're just like, oh, I really don't want to. No.
See, but for mine, because I'm a bit like you, I'm self-employed, so I do all of it.
Mm.
And I just have lots of systems.
You do the billing. Do you bill people on time?
So well, like really, I only have one contract at the moment, so it's all billed on time, so it's super easy. But yeah, I used to have like a whole process that, because I was thinking, I used to think, oh, one day, you know, I'll be able to employ someone to do all of this. And then I realised I was just going to be employing myself forever to do it all. But I was like, if I have like systems, then it's going to make my life easier. And I think when I think back, they were things that I used to do in the workplace as well. So maybe I don't know what my intelligence is, whether I don't think I'm in that fluid stage. Maybe I'm in like the dissolving stage. I don't know, right? Where it's all kind of
crystallizing
together.
Crystallizing
or decrystallizing. I don't know. But I've always been somebody that's been maybe it's a little bit lazy. I don't know. But I like systems. So when I would maybe was a dental nurse and I would open up all the practice, I would have like, it would be I'd start here, do, you know, so I just would do things to the point of routine, I suppose, so that I didn't have to think about them. And now I replicate that in a lot of what I do in my work. So when it comes to tasks and duties that I don't like, I try and find like a real straightforward, simple system.
So you're probably, because you've been doing what you're doing a similar length of time I've been doing this, and my previous longest job was 2.5 years, and I never had the chance to get into serious routines, but now I'm in routines that are almost impossible to break.
Yeah.
Like the movement of grabbing the mic, fading the music down, grabbing the microphone and talking.
You get that weird out-of-body experience because it's something that you've done.
I can't change it. Like sometimes last year I was quite tired a lot, and I was like, I've got to bring more energy, so I'm going to sit more upright and open my chest out. But as soon as the moment came to do that, my body just locked itself into those routines I've been doing every day for 10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I couldn't change it.
Yeah.
It was so hard.
Yeah, and then you're going against it. So I'm a little bit like that. Like I try and book appointments at similar times, and that goes back to knowing when I'm good at doing what I need to do. So, and then other times I'm like, no, I know I'm going to be sort of Friday afternoons. There's no point in me trying to sit and talk with people, so I do a lot of writing at that time because I'm tired at the end of the week. I make a lot of mistakes that I don't want people to be seeing when I'm, you know, maybe writing next to them or doing whatever I'm doing, you know. So I'm quite a system, so I think maybe one day when I get a bit sick of things, I might just say to somebody, oh hey, here's the spreadsheet of all my correspondence that I've collected over the last, dated and ordered.
Because admin is a skill. Admin is a huge skill. An innate talent, I feel.
Absolutely.
Some people have it.
Yeah, very, very good. I wish I was better. I make it sound like I am, but like I said, it's just really looking for the simplest way for me to manage what I've got to do, that system. But there are some people I know that would look at it and go,
they just
boom.
Yeah. They're just wired for it.
Wired differently. And that's a core of career development is knowing your sort of, there's lots of traits. And
I mean, it's kind of like, it's not considered to be the cool jazzy thing to do, to do admin, but it's incredibly important in an organization.
You try running a business without someone who can.
Yeah, and they're the people when they go on holiday, everyone else is terrified.
Yeah.
Because how are they going to cope without them? They just seem to have it all under control. So, yeah. So I think I'm going to title this conversation a
ramble through career.
No, I'm going to like pretend that we plan to talk about disruption.
Yep.
And life disruptions.
Non-linear career paths.
Education and
exploration.
Work disruptions and exploration. Yeah, that'll be my plan. So, folks, we've been talking to Natalie, who, do you say your business is a Career Tree anymore, or are you just working for the government?
No, I am. Well, actually, that was quite funny because I was at one of the centres, obviously working from the Work and Income Centres using their connected spaces, and they were doing a work seminar and they were like, oh, and here's Natalie from Career Tree. And I was like, oh, and they work through a project called Direct Career Services where you're able to access free career guidance. I'm one of 35 practitioners up and down the country. And yeah, if you want to have an appointment, have a conversation with either myself or my colleagues, head over to the Careers NZ website and all the details of how to get hold of us are on there, because guess what? I forgot the telephone number again. I think it's 0800-222-733 or 0800-733-222, one of the two.
We can't guess at numbers.
I know, we can't.
What's the thing called? Career?
Careers NZ.
Careers NZ.
Yeah, that one down there, look. And then there you go.
We're going to bring it up on the computer and we're going to get this right.
Just scroll down.
Where's the number?
Up, get free career advice. Click on there, look.
Where's that?
This is how simple it is to find the number.
Oh, there.
And it is. Scroll down a little bit.
Okay, we're scrolling. This is such good radio.
222-733. Ring that number.
And it's there twice. 0800-222-733.
Yep. And that you can access free career support from career development professionals, so trained, qualified career practitioners, 35 up and down the country. You can see people face-to-face over the telephone.
And if you do that, you might be able to avoid the mistakes that Natalie and I have been talking about.
Or embrace them.
That's actually that's a good attitude. I actually really like that.
It's cool. Part of the fabric of who we are. It's all the good stuff, you know?
Yep. Alrighty, thank you for coming in.
Oh no, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
You're going to Maui Dolphin Day?
Oh, absolutely. Well, we've got one singing in the.
Oh right, singing the Maui Dolphin, song. Yep. Awesome. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, it's be pretty cool. So,
all right,
and it's a good community activity. It's, you know what I mean? Like that's sort of.
I say it's the one. It's become the community's community day because people just turned up to it.
Yeah,
a lot of people turned up to it.
I think a lot of us have also had rafts. Come on, Aaron. We've all been there.
I've never been on a raft, and now I'm one of the commentators, so I don't go on rafts.
There you go. But so if anybody needs a paddler tomorrow, Aaron, just put his hand up.
No, I can't commentate from a raft.
Yes, you could. We could have you like...
Felix doesn't make cables long enough to get out to the raft, and they probably won't work in the water.
I think, you know what? It could make an exception for you.
We'll talk to Felix off the air. I think he's going to say no to that one, though. Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome.